All righty, hour number two of our radio program. That's right. It is the Zach Gelb Show on Seats Radio. Sean Merriman's going to join us coming up an hour from now, the former great NFL linebacker. And then Ari Temkin from Big 12 Radio is going to stop by at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. We will do a little college football fix, previewing the Big 12 for this upcoming 2023 Big 12 football season with their media days underway at Jerry's World. But today, we finally got the announcement that the New York Jets and, like, the worst-kept secret are going to be the team that's going to be on Hard Knocks. Now, this took forever to get announced because no one really wanted to be on Hard Knocks this year. And I don't think the product has been that great the last few years. I know people loved the Detroit Lions last year, and this is the way that I've said it. I thought the clips on social media were really good with the Detroit Lions, but when you went and watched the entire hour of Hard Knocks, I thought it was a little bit boring. Now, the Dallas Cowboys, that was as boring could be, which you would think would be the opposite with one of the most dramatic teams in the NFL. There's a reason I call them the Drama Dallas Choking Cowboys. But when the Cowboys were on Hard Knocks, I forget who gave who the present, but it was either Zeke giving Dak a present or Dak giving Zeke a present. Like, that was, and I say this in air quotes, a big storyline. And then Jerry Jones throwing so much salt on his McDonald's breakfast sandwich. Outside of that, and that's not really all that memorable, maybe the breakfast sandwiches, but not the presents, there weren't a lot of memorable things for Hard Knocks with the Dallas Cowboys. So this year you have the Jets, and the Jets don't want to do it, but they were one of the four teams the NFL could force. If you don't make the playoffs, you don't got a new first-year head coach. So the Jets, on paper, are entertaining. They're one of the more entertaining teams, if not the most entertaining team in the NFL, because they have Aaron Rodgers. And you know with how much we've talked about Aaron Rodgers the last 3 years. So I don't want to sit here and tell you that Hard Knocks is going to be great this year, because the teams have so much control on what actually airs. Like, I've said this before, but Hugh Jackson, who has been on this show before, Hugh Jackson, when he was coaching the Browns, they were on Hard Knocks, and that was probably the last great Hard Knocks off the, if you kind of just think about it real quickly. You know, I didn't fully vet that before I said it, but that was a memorable Hard Knocks. You had that, like, fake passionate speech by Jarvis Landry, but you had that really icy, contentious, confrontational meeting between Todd Haley and Hugh Jackson. And years later, I asked Hugh Jackson about that because that was a bad look for Hugh. And he said something along the lines of, we control what gets out there. So I thought it was interesting that Hugh wanted that out there. And he kind of vaguely alluded to it being that wasn't the first time, whatever they were discussing between Todd and Hugh, that Todd asked that, whatever point he was trying to make. So if the Jets don't want to be on Hard Knocks, and the teams do in some capacity, if that's still true, control what gets out there, and I don't know how good this is going to be. But, like, what are we going to get? Each and every week, an ayahuasca talk with ayahuasca Aaron? Like, I don't know. Quinnen Williams, his contract will be compelling. But Quinnen Williams is someone that I'm interested to hear. You know, forget about the contract for just a second. But remember when he was at Alabama, right before they're about to play in that semifinal game, and he's about to say something controversial about Kyler Murray. He's about to say Kyler Murray's not all that. And then he just stopped dead in his tracks when he said Kyler Murray isn't. Yeah. Because almost as if Nick Saban got in his ear and was like, you're not going to say anything negative. You will not say anything negative about Kyler Murray or the opponent. That was something that I thought was funny. And Quinnen Williams has a lot of moments where I don't think he's intentionally trying to be funny, but he turns out to be funny. I want to say it was in a pre-draft interview where he sneezed. And when he sneezed, like, if I sneeze right now, Chris Hess, what would you say?
Bless you, of course.
There you go. It's not a trick question. Yep. But Quinnen Williams sneezed, and then he was like, bless you. He blessed himself. So there's a lot of moments with Quinnen Williams.
He's a funny guy.
There was something where he was talking about Madden his rookie year. and he was talking about playing with himself, you know, in the video game, but he kept on saying, I was playing with myself this weekend, I was playing with myself this weekend, and then he kind of figured out how that could sound a little weird sexually, and he was laughing in the moment. So I think there is some, but what's the best way to say it? There's an innocence to Quinnen Williams that makes him really funny, because you look at Quinnen Williams, and we've had him on the show a bunch before. Quinnen Williams is like this big dude. He's an absolute monster in the trenches. And there's sometimes that, like, the big guy is like the most lovable guy and the most funny guy. And he's an absolute mauler on the field. Like, I would not want to be an offensive lineman going up against him. But off the field, he's just like so funny and such a good dude. He kind of reminds me, like, I went to college with this guy. He's a good friend, Deion Dawkins of the Bills. Like, Deion, you see him on the field. This is a Pro Bowl, multiple Pro Bowl left tackle. And he's mauling dudes, like destroying dudes, protecting Josh Allen. But when we were in college together, he had big Deion Dawkins, and he had the smallest dog. Like, he would walk around with this dog. I forget what type of dog it was, but you wouldn't expect a big football player to have, like, a pit bull or a Rottweiler or, like, a big lab. It was like this, like, little mini dog, little puppy. It was hysterical. And Deion's, like, a life of a party type of guy, just, like, a fun, good dude, and you never know, like, what he's going to say, because it's usually just funny stuff. So I find that usually most of the times the most fun people are actually the linemen. And they're usually unintentionally funny. So, I like, on paper, the Jets should be good. But since they don't want to do it, then I just don't know how great Hard Knocks can actually be. Because, like, if you have a mentality that you don't want to do something, like, how great can it actually be? And not to keep on bringing this back up, but if you go back and listen to the entire Deebo Samuel interview, I think you could tell very early on, like, not just the 2 minutes that CBS Sports Radio put out on the Twitter page. Like, if you listen to the entire 5-6 minutes, you could tell right from the start he just didn't want to do the interview. And that's fine. It is what it is. But for the Jets, it's like, all right, you look at them, you're like, yeah, that could be really good on Hard Knocks. Like, Deebo, great player. Yeah, you know, excited to have him on. But if you don't want to do it, like, if he didn't want to do the interview, clearly, even though they pitched him for us, and the Jets, they don't want to do Hard Knocks, you wonder what the actual result is going to be. So if we go division by division, teams I'm most curious to see this year in the NFL, just based off the Jets being on Hard Knocks, in the AFC East, it's the Jets. And for all the reasons we just said, Aaron Rodgers has been the talk of the league the last 3 years. What's he going to do? He finally goes to the New York, gets traded from the Green Bay Packers, forced his way out there. And I just don't know what the Jets are going to do. Like, the Jets should be a playoff team this year. Wouldn't surprise me if the Jets missed the playoffs. And it wouldn't surprise me if the Jets are, like, in a conference championship game. I don't think the Jets are going to win a Super Bowl, but it's not out of this world to predict the Jets to go win a Super Bowl this year. AFC North, the team I'm most curious to see this upcoming season in the NFL are the Baltimore Ravens. They pay Lamar Jackson. Lamar hasn't been healthy the last 2 years. They have gone out of their way to bring in more receiving talent. They draft a wide receiver in the first round again because Bateman hasn't worked out so far. He hasn't been able to stay healthy. You know, Marquise Hollywood Brown, now no longer on the team for a year. So they go out there, they draft Zay Flowers, who really was a rising star out of Boston College in this NFL draft prospect, and his stock just kept on getting better day by day in the NFL draft process. And then you bring in Odell Beckham, who 2 years ago, when Odell Beckham Jr. was last on the field, he caught a touchdown in a Super Bowl, but then got hurt and then didn't play last year. So I don't know what to expect from that team. They're well coached. They have a heck of a quarterback, one of the more entertaining quarterbacks in the game, just because what he could do in a dual threat kind of way. They bring in a new offensive coordinator, and they say they want to throw the ball more. So for the Ravens, it's a big year, because not only did you pay Lamar Jackson, but with paying Lamar Jackson, those expectations now are going to continue to intensify, because you pay a quarterback as much money as you did, you expect to win. And what I mean by winning is not just a division title, which I don't think they will, not just getting to the playoffs, but to go out there and win a Super Bowl. In the AFC South, I think my answer is going to surprise a lot of people. And I don't know if I would say this if Hickey was here, because if Hot Take Hickey was here, I could just hear him now, like, yeah, let's go, baby. Yeah, yeah, yeah. In a weird way, I'm actually intrigued to see the Colts this year. I don't think the Colts are going to be any good. You have Jonathan Taylor. Their number one wide receiver is Michael Pittman. Like, he's solid good. Should have been a first-round pick, I thought. But is he a number one wide receiver on a lot of other teams? Probably not. The offensive line took a big step back last year, and there's a lot of money invested there. Defensively, we got to see what Shaq Leonard is going to do. He's been a good player, but struggled to stay healthy last year and a lot recently. But really, in that division, I think the Jaguars, they're clearly by far number the best team. I think the Jaguars are a dark horse to go to the Super Bowl this year. Tennessee, it's like, eh. You know, you have Derrick Henry, he's a stud. Ryan Tannehill is still your quarterback. You know that team will play hard for Vrabel, but they're not going anywhere. And the Texans, yeah, it's great that they got C.J. Stroud. It's great that they got Will Anderson, but they don't have enough talent. So I look at the Colts. The reason why I'm intrigued by them, I don't think they're going to be any good. Everyone, though, keeps on telling me how great Anthony Richardson's going to be. And it drives me bonkers when we go to the pre-draft process. The two words, and if you listen to the show, you know this. The two words that I hate the most are highest ceiling. And I said it with Trey Lance. When people were like, Trey Lance has the highest ceiling in this draft class, I go, that's just stupid. And we had Trey Lance on the show a year before anyone knew who he was. When he was at North Dakota State. Great interview. Professional. You know, you listen to him, you're like, that just sounds like a quarterback. That dude was so mature when we talked to him, and he was a teenager. But when Trevor Lawrence was the number one overall pick, and we all crowned Trevor Lawrence as generational player for 3 years, I just don't get how someone could say, oh, Trey Lance has the highest ceiling. Like, Trevor Lawrence in that draft class was the ceiling. And with Anthony Richardson, when you hear the words highest ceiling, it means this guy hasn't done it yet, and he can't potentially do it, but if he puts it all together. You know, Josh Allen was one of those guys. Usually highest ceiling guys fail in the NFL. Because for the most part, when you say highest ceiling guy, it's we don't really believe in this player, but he has a strong arm. If he could just get the accuracy, it will end up working. That was Josh Allen. Josh Allen was a high ceiling guy, and he ended up getting the accuracy. But for the most part, it's like the highest ceiling guy is if everything goes well, you know, like he'll be great, but there's like a 25-30% chance of that actually happening. So with how much people have been saying Anthony Richardson, highest ceiling guy, and Anthony Richardson, when he did the first game of the season, was awesome. It was wonderful. And he had one other really great game, but I just didn't see it enough. So with how much people are slobbering over Anthony Richardson, you know, I got Hickey last week for his birthday, an Anthony Richardson t-shirt, and he's going nuts. I'm just curious to see what Anthony Richardson is going to do. We get to the AFC West. The Broncos. Sean Payton coming in. He's their head coach. Russell Wilson, can he win back that locker room? Can Sean Payton restore the career of Russell Wilson? Because I think Russell Wilson the next 3 to 4 years is playing for the Hall of Fame. Russell Wilson, there was a great feeling around him in the NFL in Seattle, and it ended really ugly. And last year was a miserable year, and everyone turned on him. If he doesn't have, in the next, like, 3 years or so, great years, and I don't even say he has to be great, you know, just be, like, really good, then you'll look back at last year and it'll be a small blip, a small mess up, a small hiccup. But if it continues where he's, like, either average or below average or just flat out bad, he may ruin his Hall of Fame legacy. He may lose his spot in the Hall of Fame. In the NFC, NFC East, the team I'm most intrigued to see this year, the Dallas Cowboys. They are the definition of in the regular season, they'll win 12 games. They'll try to tell you that we're a great team and then come playoff time. Dak just doesn't have it. The last 2 years, that defense in Dallas, I'll give them credit. That defense gave you championship performances. The quarterback against the 49ers the first time, fail. Second time, fail. So I'm intrigued to see the Cowboys this year. NFC North, team I'm most curious to see in the NFL. Everyone's talking about the Lions, right? The Lions are the pick to win this division. I'm most curious, though, to see the Minnesota Vikings. Last year, that team was not a 13-win team, even though they won 13 games. I know Parcells will be screaming, you are what your record says you are. But they felt, and Scott would call this show all the time in Minnesota. He would be like, you're disrespectful to the Vikings. I would just say, I'm not disrespectful. Like, Minnesota, they've been great to us. Justin Jefferson comes on this show. He's excellent. Alexander Mattison, phenomenal. KJ Osborne, we have a good relationship with him. Now, there's a lot of guys on that Vikings team that I like. But they're another team where I think they can have a really good regular season, even a great regular season. And then come playoff time, I just don't trust Kirk Cousins to get the job done. Kirk and Dak are very similar and a lot more similar than what people think. Like, Kirk, I think, gets that reputation of, it's Kirk Cousins. And people are like, oh, Dak Prescott. You know, top 10 quarterback. Dak's not a top 10 quarterback. He's close, but he's not a top 10 quarterback. You know, Kirk Cousins, I bet you, probably puts up better stats this year than Dak Prescott. Now, Dak, when everything's clicking, has a higher, I'm going to use that word I don't like, a higher ceiling than Kirk Cousins. But they both kind of have the same rep where they're good quarterbacks, but you don't feel like you're going to win a Super Bowl with them. But after releasing Dalvin Cook, all the changes you made to a horrific defense, you bring in Brian Flores. I'm just curious. No one's really talking about the Vikings. It's all up. Detroit's going to win that division. So I'm curious to see what Minnesota does. The NFC South, you want to talk about slim pickings. Team that I'm curious to see. Can we just realign that division? Get rid of that division, you know, and just throw those teams in different divisions? Oh, geez. You know, the Falcons, I guess, would be my answer just because they have Bijan Robinson. But the Saints, like, I'm not rooting for Derek Carr this year. I'm not. I think he plays the victim card too much. The Panthers, I like Bryce Young. You don't have enough talent around him right now. Good offensive line, but you don't have a lot of weapons around him. And the Buccaneers, I just can't buy into Baker Mayfield or if they throw out Kyle Trask. So I guess I'll go Atlanta, but nothing really must watch in the NFC South. And the NFC West, it's the 49ers, a fan base that absolutely loves me. And I'm the number one talk show host, favorite talk show host of San Francisco 49ers fans after our interview with Deebo Samuel. But the reason why I'm most interested to see the 49ers in the NFC West is they have a great team. Defensively, loaded. Offensively, McCaffrey. Deebo, it's going to be a big year for him because he had a great 2021 and then he had an awful, his words, not mine, an awful 2022. You know how great that offensive line could be. Kittle, phenomenal. One of the better personalities in the game. But the quarterback, the Kyle Shanahan with the quarterback position is like me at an ice cream store where I fall in love with a different flavor like every time I go in. And for Kyle Shanahan, it was Jimmy G. Oh, then maybe I'll try to get Kirk Cousins. Oh, no, Jimmy G's our guy. Oh, then Trey Lance. Oh, another Kirk Cousins rumor. Oh, we moved mountains to go get Trey Lance. Oh, now it's Brock Purdy. And then, oh, you've been hearing hype around Sam Darnold. And does Trey Lance love a role there in San Francisco? And for the 49ers, the reason why I'm most interested to see them, like the Rams, I don't think are going to be any good. The Cardinals are going to stink. The Seahawks, I think, could be very good this year. I think the Seahawks may be Seahawks are the third best team, in my opinion, in the NFC. That secondary, they added to it. Played really well last year. They added to it. Offensively, you got so many weapons with DJ Metcalf. You have Tyler Lockett, Jackson Smith and Jigba, Zach Charbonnet, Kenneth Walker, Geno, how much regression they're going to be. But you look at the 49ers, that team that go to Super Bowl. But until they figure out their quarterback position and actually put someone out on the field that they say, oh, we believe in this guy and we think he's the long-term quarterback too, I think they're going to keep on coming up short. I really do. And we've seen them get very close, NFC Championship games to a Super Bowl. But then the quarterback play fails them in the big spot. So those are the teams that I'm most curious to see this upcoming year, division by division in the NFL. Not the best, but just most curious. Jets, Ravens, Colts, Broncos, Cowboys, Vikings, Falcons, which one doesn't belong, and then the San Francisco 49ers. Who's a team this upcoming year in the NFL that you're most curious to see how they play out for their season in 2023? 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Coming on back, Zach Helps Show, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. You can think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. We've been talking the last few days about just this ugly situation at Northwestern. We know Pat Fitzgerald is out of his job and got fired, and understandably so, as their head football coach. I think many other people at that university need to go, because on Friday you announced that it's a 2-week suspension, and then student journalists do their job. All this other information comes out, and it's like, oh, the university knew all this stuff that came out, but they kind of tried to sweep it under the rug, clearly, when you look back at what happened. And then the public outrage was so big because the university knew about all this stuff, and they were frightening details to begin with. And then Pat Fitzgerald loses his job. I'm fine with Pat losing his job, but everyone else that was involved in trying to cover up this story and the decision makers need to go as well. But there's one name that is already generated that's making it known that he would have interest in the job. We'll get to that name just coming up in just a bit. But 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Joe Wisconsin wants to join the conversation about teams that we're curious to see in the NFL for this upcoming year. Joe, what's happening?
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me on.
Appreciate it, Joe. What do you got?
Okay, last segment there, you were naming about 27 teams there that you thought were curious, and one, probably the most curious of all, left off the list, and that is the Green Bay Packers. Don't you think people are unbelievably curious? I mean, Jordan Love, we got our defense coming back. There's a lot happening. Everybody's wondering what are we going to be like without AR.
Yes, so just to be clear here, Joe, we were doing one team by division, and the team I gave for the NFC North is Minnesota, but you're not wrong. Like, the Green Bay Packers, there's a lot of intrigue there, and, you know, we talked about them a lot so far this offseason, as we always do. You look at that team, I like Kenny Clark a lot. You know, defensively, Jair Alexander is an absolute stud, so you got some peace on the defensive side of the ball. Offensively, it's going to be intriguing to see if Christian Watson could be that great wide receiver as he was towards the second half of the season. You still got Aaron Jones there, offensive line. Bakhtiari, can he stay healthy? Elton Jenkins is good. But yeah.
You're making my case, man.
No doubt about it. You know, Joe, you know, I got accused by some longtime talk show host in San Francisco that if a caller calls up and disagrees with me, I won't be able to allow that caller to voice his opinion. You bring a good point there, though, Joe. No doubt about it, because Jordan Love, he's one of those high-ceiling guys that I was talking about earlier. Where in college, entering the draft, everyone's like, he's got a high ceiling if you put it all together. We got to see what he could end up doing. So,
good point, Joe. All our eggs are in his basket, so we'll see. And thank you for having me on.
Well, Joe, let me ask you this real quickly. Are you confident? Here's the big question. Are you confident that this is going to be a decent year, a good year for the Packers with Jordan Love?
That's the million-dollar question, Zach. I don't know. Honest to God, I just don't know how this is going to unfold. But I'm sure hanging on the edge of my seat here watching, tell you what.
Well, I appreciate it, Joe. Thanks so much for calling the show. So there you go. Now, Packers are definitely a good one. You know what? Now the more that he said it, it just shows you that sometimes you say things on the radio and then you forget what you say, and then a month later conversation comes back up and it's one of those conversations that you go, oh, I forgot I said that. I'm pretty sure that I actually lambasted Hickey on this show, Hot Take Hickey, when I said the Packers are one of the more intriguing teams in football this year. And he was like, what are you talking about? And then we got a caller saying, hey, you didn't mention the Packers in the last segment. So some good checks and balances right there. So good job by that last caller. We could be having a return of one legendary college football coach. Now, I don't know if the university's interested in him, but Northwestern, right? They just got rid of Pat Fitzgerald. You have that decision. You're going to ride with an interim this year, or do you make a hire even before November or December when you're probably going to get back in that hiring cycle to find the permanent replacement? Well, according to Bradley Locker, former LSU head football coach Ed Orgeron,
go Tigers,
would have interest in the Northwestern job if the Wildcats go after him. Now, this was just per sources. This was not directly coming from the mouth of Coach O, because he's probably partying somewhere. You know, Coach O is always partying somewhere or jogging around with no shirt on these days. He lost a lot of weight. He looks pretty buff these days, Coach O. But maybe Coach O winds up with Northwestern. The way that report comes off to me is that someone close to Coach O, or maybe Coach O himself, anonymously reached out to Bradley Locker and said, I'd have interest in the job. I don't want to go on the record with it, but get my name out there. You know, something along those lines. So the way that I read that is Coach O is, or someone close to Coach O is throwing his name out there. And if Northwestern is interested, all they have to do is pick up the phone and call. But I would not anticipate Northwestern making a permanent move from now until the start of the season. I'd be surprised if it is Coach O. Like, that would be cool, Coach O. You got him there full time. If he wants a job, sure, why not? We saw what he was able to do at LSU when everyone didn't want to hire him. And I'm a big fan of Coach O. But I feel like Coach O, I'm sure he'll want to get back into coaching at one point. But Coach O, when he gave that line of the buyout, he's like, yeah, no. So something along the lines of, I can't say what he said on the radio because I'm pretty sure he cursed. But he said something along the lines of when they had the conversation, they were firing him. He's like, I get my money. You know, fantastic, great, whatever. Ever since then, I know that he's now divorced, but he's really been enjoying life and he's been popping up at all these parties. I actually partied with Coach O at the LA Super Bowl. We were at the same party and in that same private room area at one of these parties where, who was the DJ? It was Little John that was DJing at one of these parties. It was pretty cool. And the next day he walked up to me on Radio Row, and he even said this in the interview, and he goes, have you ever seen the most beautiful looking woman that you've ever seen last night? So Coach O is enjoying the single lifestyle. And Peter Schrager even told this story, I want to say it was at the Sean McVay wedding last year, where there was like a night before the wedding, and you have all these like rich and famous people there because it's Sean McVay's wedding. So they had some party, and Coach O was just in like the pool area of the hotel hanging out with everybody. And Peter Schrager, who's very friendly with Sean McVay, said to Sean McVay, you know, what about Eddie O? Like, just showing up to the wedding? Like, how do you know him? Like, did you guys coach once together? And he goes, McVay said something along the lines of, how about that? He just showed up. So he just came for the night before at the party scene and then dipped out and wasn't actually invited to the wedding. So I think Coach O is in this lifestyle now where he's really enjoying not coaching. Now, he may get that itch, and maybe this is throwing his name out there back in the ringer, but that's kind of tough to go from really enjoying life and then going right back into coaching. At this point, you won a national championship. You coach one of the more dominant college football teams of all time. I think you just kind of stay out of the game if you're Ed Orgeron. But if Ed Orgeron gets back to college football, that's fantastic because Ed Orgeron in college football is what's best for college football. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Let's go to Vinny in Arizona real quickly. Vinny, go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, Zach? Thanks for taking my call, man.
You got it. What do you got?
So, I would love to see how Carr's working and fitting in with that offense, and as well as like his confidence level, having a defense that can actually.
Yeah, so Vinny, your phone line's not great, but I think I could gather who you wanted on Hard Knocks, and it was the Saints. Here's the thing for the Saints. They should win that division this year. I know that you have the status of Dennis Allen. You know, Derek Carr makes it a bigger story than what it actually needs to be. That's not an intriguing team to me. Olave is tremendous. Michael Thomas is never healthy. As you found out today and you knew there's things going on and we're finally getting closure on the legal situation with Alvin Kamara. We'll see how many games he gets suspended for. Jamal Williams is one of the more entertaining athletes in all of sports. Yeah, you know, he's a great interview. Defensively, they're really good with Cam Jordan still there. You have the Honey Badger. But it's not like I look at that team and I'm like, oh, wow, like I'm really excited for the Saints. They're going to be, and they should be the best team in that division. But last year, the best team in that division was 8-9. And that was the team that had Tom Brady on it. So it's tough for me to really all get rah-rah about the Saints. And if you're a Saints fan, and it's a shame his cell phone connection wasn't great because I would have asked him this. It's like, you say you're excited, but are you really excited? Like, everyone's excited for the football season. But do you think this team is going anywhere other than probably just winning the division? And I would say no. All righty, we will come on back with the first-year college football coaches with the most to prove in 2023. little list that was put together by Yahoo. Sean Merriman's going to join us coming up at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, and Ari Temkin from Big 12 Media Days.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
It is The Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. So I was reading this list today on Yahoo Sports. The coaches, new jobs, most intrigue, or most to prove is the way that it was worded, in 2023. The number one coach was Deion Sanders. Now, here's the thing. I understand the premise, but what can Deion actually improve when you're taking over a god-awful program? And I know that we've seen coaches come in, and first-year coaches are always tricky when you take over a new program. Like, look at someone like Sonny Dykes, who had multiple other jobs. And then year one goes in, and he's even said this to me, where Sonny Dykes, when he was 5-0, we had him on. I said, you surprised by this start? He goes, yeah, I couldn't expect a 5-0 start. First-year jobs are always tough. You never know how they're going to go. But Deion Sanders, probably the reason why it's number one on this list, is he walks in, and I kind of like what he said. He's like, we're coming, we're coming, we're coming, we're coming. And he goes, I'm bringing my Louis, and we're going to have a lot more like new luggage here. And they have like 70 new players on this team. So I'm just curious where this goes, because I'm not even asking in year one for it to be a super-duper success. And we know Deion's one of the great promoters of all time. But if you go from that level where he was in terms of in that locker room, in the introductory meeting, and then you have like two wins this year, you got to, like, I don't even think you have to be above 500. You just got to be respectable in year one for Deion Sanders. Number two on this list, Hugh Freeze at Auburn. Now, Hugh Freeze, and this was Cole Kublik who said this, who's an Auburn alum, and he does not just always give his university the pass. But he said with Hugh Freeze already being there, it's most aligned the university has been with a college football coach in a long time. And Hugh Freeze is a good coach. A lot comes with Hugh Freeze, all of his own fault. If you just take the cell phone out of his hand and lock him out of his Twitter, which I think they've already done, then Hugh Freeze should be able to be successful at Auburn. And that's another guy, year one, I know it's a positive hire right now, but you got to remember, with the coach that just came in a few years ago from Boise State, that was never a hire that anyone's like, that's our guy, after what happened with Gus Malzahn. But you take a look at Gus Malzahn, you know, no longer being there, like, he's a solid coach. You know, he was a solid coach in Gus Malzahn. So with Hugh Freeze coming on in, it's now like one of those situations where you finally have a guy that you could say is your guy, where the last time you had the Boise State coach that was coming on in there, and it was like no one actually believed in him. But you know how quickly that they wanted to move on from Brian Harsin, where it's one of those situations where it's, when you're an SEC job, you got to go right from the jump and really make a name for yourself. Let's go to number three on this list. It's Matt Rhule at Nebraska. Now, if you listen to this show, you know I'm a big fan of Matt Rhule. Did not work out in the NFL. Clearly, it was a disaster. But Matt Rhule's an excellent college football coach. He turned around a god-awful Temple program. He turned around a Baylor program that was in a dreadful and just disgusting state. And you look at Matt Rhule, year one could be ugly. It takes time. But then year two, it takes off. And, hey, I know we've been talking about Nebraska, one of those schools, for like 20 years. Are they back? Are they back with Texas? And now you throw Miami in there as well. It's time for Nebraska to get things going again. And knowing Matt Rhule the way that I know Matt Rhule and the way that he builds programs, seeing it with my own two eyes at Temple, and then following what he was able to do kind of from afar at Baylor, if Matt Rhule can't fix this Nebraska program, then I don't know if Nebraska's ever going to be back. Keep it moving on this Yahoo list. Scott Satterfield at Cincinnati comes up for Louisville. It's like, you know, I know it's a new conference that he's going to now with Cincinnati in the Big 12. We'll talk about this with Ari. I don't really know how to evaluate any of these new teams in the Big 12. Like, UCF will probably get the most buzz. And if Houston, Cincinnati, Dana Holgerson's at Houston. BYU, Kalani Sitake is a good coach, man. Kalani Sitake, who we've got a chance to talk to a bunch, he's like a really solid coach. And if you look at any of those teams, yeah, I got to go look at the rosters and do a little deeper dive. But the last few years, BYU has been a very solid program. Number five, Luke Fickle at Wisconsin. I'm surprised he's not a little bit higher up on this list. Now, for the Big Ten, you have Michigan, you have Ohio State, and then I'll throw Penn State as the third team. I'll even say this. You guys know me. I don't love Penn State. I'm probably saying that nicely. Penn State, if they don't take down either Michigan or Ohio State this year, geez Louise. And I know Chris Hess is one of those Penn State just sycophants guy that is like pom-poms out, everything's great in Happy Valley. Penn State's got a lot of talent this year.
That's where you're wrong, though. I'm actually a sycophant. I will be the first one any Penn State. I will.
Mm-hmm. Just like Hickey. Hickey says the same thing. I'm not a homer. And then all we hear every year, college football playoff, here they come.
Look at my Twitter. Look at my Twitter. And you.
I'll pass.
I call them out so many times. But yes, they have talent.
Say, well, hold on. What's Penn State going to do this year?
I think they're going to go 11-1. I think they'll split with Ohio State and Michigan.
Objective, though, Penn State fan here.
I think they'll split, but I also won't be shocked if they split those two games but lose to somebody else also.
This schedule is a cupcake here. West Virginia with Neil Brown about to get fired. Delaware. Illinois.
Illinois is the one I'm worried about on the road.
If you're worried about Illinois heading into a football season, I know Brett Bielema's there. Come on. Stop. Iowa, Northwestern,
Illinois
UMass.
Always plays them well. Illinois always plays them well.
Okay. Stop. This is the Penn State fan that I can't deal with. Ohio State, good game. Indiana, Maryland, Michigan, good game. Rutgers, Michigan State. Your schedule stinks outside of two games. And you know what? I know Hickey's not here, but Hickey, a few weeks ago, SEC is afraid to play an extra conference game. I love the Big Ten, but that's a cupcake schedule if I've ever seen when you look at Penn State this upcoming year. That's a soft schedule outside of two teams.
Yeah, the out-of-conference schedule is... I was happy...
Even in conference, outside of two teams stinks.
I was happy when they scheduled the West Virginia series years in advance, but I don't think anybody knew how bad West Virginia was going to be however many years down the road.
Jeez. Oof. That's an ugly schedule. Hey, if you guys better only have one loss.
That's why I said that. Because anything less, the expectations around the program have changed. It's like everything's in there now. You finally have the quarterback that they've lacked for, I think, since Kerry Collins, that they've lacked from 94.
Oh, you've had some good quarterbacks. Not great, but McSorley was awesome.
McSorley was more of a folk hero than he was an actual good player.
Oh, no, that dude was a gamer.
He was a gamer, yes. But I'm talking like a legit, bona fide, like potential to be drafted in the first or second round quarterback.
This is the biggest year for your coach.
100%.
Because overrated James Franklin, fraudulent Franklin, that's what I should start calling him. 3-5 against top 10 teams during his time at Penn State, 1-10 against top 5 teams. So 3-15, excuse me, against top 10 teams and 1-10 against top 5.
That is a spot on assessment that this is the biggest year for him, that they've never had this much depth, they've never had this much explosiveness. This is the year to make the 4-team playoff, and they don't, the season stinks.
Luke Fickle at Wisconsin, though. I'm curious, when you get a big boy job like that, what's he going to do? But he was awesome at Cincinnati. And then to wrap up this list for Yahoo Sports, Trent Dilfer at UAB came in at number six. Zach Arnett at Mississippi State, taking over for the legendary Mike Leach, who obviously passed away, and just horrible story there, in at number seven. Tom Herman. That was supposed to be the guy. I remember watching Tom Herman when it was Matt Rhule and Tom Herman in the American Athletic Conference Championship game. LSU fans were losing their mind when they didn't get him, and they had to settle on Ed Orgeron, end up winning a national championship, and Tom Herman at Texas didn't work. But Tom Herman now with FAU, which has been a solid program the last few years. And then you got Kenny Dillingham at Arizona State, and then Jeff Brohm in at Louisville's like, whatever. You know, I like Jeff Brohm when he was at Purdue. And now he goes back to Louisville, a legend, all that stuff, but, you know, it's tough to have many big expectations.
If he can win 7 or 8 games there every single year, there's no reason why he wouldn't be a mainstay forever at that program.
Oh, yeah, obviously. It's It's a legendary person for that program. It's not like they're looking to ever fire him. That's always the tough spot when you kind of hire one of your own. But it was about time, and that's been rumored for years, and they finally get their guy to come back home and come back to the school that was his school. So it is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. That was a list from Yahoo Sports. First-year college football coaches or college football coaches in new places that are the most approved in 2023. Once again, Yahoo Sports, Deion Sanders in at number one. In at number two, Hugh Freeze. Three, Matt Rhule. In at number four, Scott Satterfield at Cincinnati. Five, Luke Fickell at Wisconsin. Six, Trent Dilfer at UAB. Seven, Zach Arnett at Mississippi State. Eight, Tom Herman at Florida Atlantic. Nine, Kenny Dillingham at Arizona State. And 10, Jeff Brohm at Louisville. Coming on back, Sean Merriman will join us next.